to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and definitely you today. We're opening up the phone lines because we're asking the question, does death frighten you? Are you afraid to die? We want to know. We definitely want to hear from you. But you got to listen to this entire hour because we think when you finish the spirit world today, you're going to have a different feeling about death. Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So, Adam, we're all going to die. We came up with this this episode of Does Death Frighten You? Timing of this, it's very unfortunate what has transpired in the last couple days with the Philadelphia plane crash and then the oh my goodness, the tragic crash between the collision between the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter over the Potomac, and all of these lives lost in an instant. And people are just so traumatized, and they're reeling from this, and they're wondering why, how could this happen? And now there are text messages that are being circulated of the passengers on the American Airlines flight. They were just about ready to land, and so they sent messages to their loved ones. And every time I think about it, my heart just hurts for them. They sent messages saying, "We're almost landing. We're going to be home. I love you." And then it happened. They were called home to the Lord. So the timing of this, we didn't plan this. We plan our topics well in advance, but the good Lord has a way of providing Catholic radio to really help all of us. And we believe today, this particular episode, this edition, Does Death Frighten You, is definitely needed today. So Adam, what do you feel about that first? And I know the prayers, so many, we on take two with Jerry and Debbie, the prayer book was just filling up with people around the world praying for the victims of the crash and for the first responders. The two crashes, one right not too far from you in Philadelphia, you're in Pittsburgh. Well, that's several hours away, but still the same state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But Adam, what do you think about all this? Do you think this is too much of a, heavy of a topic, or do you think it's necessary?
Oh, it's completely necessary. I mean, a lot of the point of Christianity is Jesus's vanquishing death, his triumph over death, being the first fruits in his resurrection of the life that we hope to enjoy. And, you know, as Paul says, if there wasn't a resurrection, there's no point to any of it. And of course there was, and we know historically and through our faith that there was. But really, that's the central thing. You know, decay and death entered through the fall, through original sin. And so it wasn't the intended original plan of God, but it was allowed to honor our free will. You know, we chose death, and we talk about spiritual death all the time. Well, there's the physical death. So kind of the bottom line of all this is, get in that state of grace and stay in a state of grace so that you're not in a state of spiritual death, meaning in a state where your friendship with God is wounded through your choice to, you know, commit a mortal sin. And that's willfully breaking one of the Ten Commandments, knowing it's one of the Ten Commandments and choosing to do it anyway. So all of this is part of life, Deb, of course. You know, we all think about death. Mm-hmm. It's part of the human experience.
Right. And the older you get, you think about it even more. Real quickly, mm-hmm. before you continue, we must mention this because there's a trend of a lot of Catholics wearing hats and T-shirts with the Latin phrase, memento mori. Just mm-hmm. go into that a little bit about this, always reminding us that we're going to die.
Yeah, you know, we can also think of the famous Shakespeare, you know, holding up the skull and saying, you know, basically this is what we will all become, and you know, you once were able to speak. This idea, memento mori, it's Latin for reminder of death, you know, a memory to recall that death is part of life. And yeah, it's important in the sense that that keeps us, you know, mindful of the fact that the spiritual aspect of life, you know, in the end, and so many people have said this on their deathbed, in the end, they're not thinking and talking about how much money they made or the great real estate deal that they pulled off when they were 25 or any of that.
Or how beautiful they look, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about love. It's about relationship. It's about family. And it's about their relationship with God. And, you know, oh, and by the way, Deb, I wanted to throw it out there. If there are hospice workers, mm-hmm. nurses from hospice that have had some experience with seeing good and healthy deaths in the sense that people were kind of well adjusted to it, or people that weren't, and what you notice, like what makes for a healthy death, a death that isn't kind of a fearful, terrible experience. And maybe if you've seen some interesting things around the dying. I know, you know, there's a lot of talk about visitation of family members or people seeing angels, people seeing Jesus, and the difference between medical hallucinations and what, you know, is seen in hospice. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I find those stories fascinating.
Absolutely. And here's the number to do that. Please call in quickly. We do want to hear from our hospice workers, first responders as well, doctors, medical professionals. Please call in and tell us. Or how about a person that you've been at the bedside of somebody you love and you experienced it? You were in the hospital setting or something of that nature, or at home in the peaceful setting of a home situation. 877-757-9424. We'd like to tap into your experience. Please call in. Stop what you're doing. Make the call. We're very friendly. You're going to speak to Carol or Libby. They're wonderful to talk to. Here come the calls. We've got several coming in really fast. 877-757-9424. And you know, Adam, we really must thank our show team. We have a fabulous show team. Senior producer Tim Mott is at the controls. Like I said, Libby and Carol are our call screeners for today at the Spirit World. We are being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network. We are so happy about that, and we are broadcasted throughout the entire world. Thank you so much, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. So if you're hearing the sound of our voices, please, if you have something to say about death, you want to ask a question, maybe you have a fear of death, maybe you are a hospice worker, or you have experienced, you've been at the bedside of somebody who has died, this is the time we can help other souls be at peace. And please don't forget to pray to Saint Joseph for a peaceful death. Saint Joseph is the saint, the go-to saint to absolutely rely on. He is amazing. 877-757-9424. Okay, Adam, please continue.
So there's a few clues that we can open with, and I see we got a lot of people calling in, but the Cleveland Clinic, and for those that don't know around the world, it's one of our best medical centers in the United States, just really top-notch. And on their website, they have a really good article on what's called thanatophobia, which is a big word for the kind of overwhelming fear of death when it becomes a phobia and it interferes with life. So we all have some fear of death. But it's interesting, they cite from the medical literature that the factors that make it more likely that death will become an overwhelming fear to somebody is lack of religious beliefs, lack of close friends and family members, and a dissatisfaction with life. Now, also getting a serious, you know, diagnosis of, you know, a potentially fatal disease can lead to that, of course. And sometimes first responders who really physically and emotionally put themselves on the line all the time and they see a lot of stuff. But I find it interesting that lack of religious beliefs and lack of close relationships make mm-hmm. death more fearful.
So in the almost 10 years that Jerry Usher and I have been doing Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, we have had multiple shows on this, on death and dying. And hospice workers have called in, hospice nurses have called in, and they have said, it's spot on. That's their experience. Those that have faith, those that have a solid understanding of where they're headed, they have a very interesting, almost mystical death, Would you, is that your experience? Because you've been at the bedside of many folks that have died.
Well, you know, I was very close with my uncle when he died. I was a family member, very close, physically there holding him while he died. And same with my father. And I saw two things, Deb, in both cases. For my dad, I prayed the prayers for the dying, not the priestly anointing of the sick, just the regular Catholic prayers for the dying, for my dad. And there had been a tension in his body, kind of like a muscle tension, all through his body for some time. He was not able to respond or say anything. There was kind of this vibrating tension all through his body. And then the moment in the prayers where the soul is encouraged to leave and go to Jesus, at that very moment, all the tension went out of his body. It went kind of still. His heart was still beating and all of that, mm-hmm. but his body went to like a state of peace and relaxation and stayed that way until his final passing. With my uncle, we all had the encouragement. There was a ton of family standing around the bed while he was prayed for. And again, the kind of prayers for the dying, for and then the encouragement to the soul to go and to leave and be at peace at that very moment. All of us rocked back and leaned back simultaneously because we all felt this rush of kind of an electrical something rose out of the body and went past us all. And we all leaned back at the same moment because you felt this kind of coming at you. It was a really beautiful, intense experience. We all said if we felt the soul of my uncle rise out of his body and go past us. So I've seen some beauty with prayer, mm-hmm. and the dying process is what I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah, and I'd like to share an experience too. And I know real quickly, let's Tim, do you have there's an experience maybe you wanted to share with us real quickly before we go to the first break. I know we have full phone lines and Raul will be first up with our callers and others are trying to get in. But Tim, share, this is fascinating here about a radio host.
Well, yeah. So you mentioned going, dying and being prepared for it and going through it well. And this, when I was a young radio board op back in 20 years ago, I guess, there was a radio host named Rich Bueller who I was working with. And he had a big show in the 80s called Talk from the Heart. But he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer shortly after they revived his show. So he had come back out of retirement back to do this show. And I was going to be his young green producer. And then he got this diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, one of the worst. And I remember what he said to the audience when he announced it to them. He was going to continue trying to do the show. He was a Christian pastor and everything, so he was prepared for death. And he said, death is not something to be afraid of, but it is the enemy. And so I'm going to continue to fight it. I'm not going to resign myself and just die. We're going to continue going through the chemo and everything and the radiation. And it was beautiful to see how he guided the audience through that experience that he was having. And then when they had his memorial service, the entire church, mega church in Southern California, was absolutely packed with wow. people that had been impacted by watching his journey. So I encourage people to call in and share about good experiences that they've had, because that will impact so many other people today.
Well, you're spot on, and what you shared, Adam, with your experience, and then what I hopefully can weave in about my experience, and then Tim, what you just shared, is fascinating to me, because here's the interesting thing about this, with an understanding of faith, with this idea like John Paul II, never ever give up. You're taking it all the way to the end. You're not giving up. You know, you get a terminal diagnosis. You get a bad report from the doctor. It's not a time. It really isn't a time to go back to bed and pull the covers over your head. It's a time to go out there and be a living witness and to really walk the walk and talk the talk. And that's what Tim's sharing. That's what you're in a way is sharing about being at the bedside, so that those people around that bed as that person is dying can also have this experience. Because look how it stayed with you, Adam, all these years, and it mm-hmm. has stayed with Tim. I mean, this is fascinating. And if I'm not mistaken, help me out, Tim and Adam. It wasn't it Rush Limbaugh, I believe, the same way when he was dying, had that same attitude and outlook on his program. That he was not going to give up, and he was going to go out there and show that you take this all the way to the end of this earthly life, because, you know, those that have faith, those that have eternity and to be with God and as their goal to get back to God, like St. Thomas Aquinas, well, then it all makes sense. Like you said, Adam, we go through this living experience, we go through the death, it's part of life, and we go right, hopefully, into the arms of Jesus. Oh, that, see, now that feels good to me. All right, you hear the music right on cue. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to get to Raul and Lou and Abraham. Hang on, and there's more of your calls about being afraid of death. That's what we're talking about today. Are you? Does death frighten you? Please call in. This is your show, The Spirit World. It's really easy to call in. You'll speak to Libby and Carol, 877-757-9424. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, please. We're going to be posting some articles about death at The Spirit World Podcast. Adam and I will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
The month of February is dedicated to the Holy Family. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our family. Open our hearts to receive your love. May our home be another Nazareth, so that our family may be a place where your peace and love abides. Open our eyes to recognize the gift and beauty of life, so that we may find joy in your presence among us. Grant us pure hearts seeking holiness, generous hearts full of your love, merciful hearts ready to forgive, and tender hearts full of kindness. May our family be a sanctuary of life and love, a beacon of hope, drawing others to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, pray for us.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we are going to get to the phones in just a minute. Raul, hold on, from Tampa, Florida. You'll be up first. I wanted just to share with our listeners, I really want to encourage you to please subscribe to the podcast, because it's a really easy way to share with those who cannot listen live. So all you have to do is subscribe to the podcast, search The Spirit World in any podcast app. Okay, so if you can do that for us, that is wonderful. If you want to reach us by email, it's, again, another easy, convenient way to do that is TSW. Remember, that stands for The Spirit World. TSW@grnonline.com. The number to dial now if you want to get in when the line becomes open and freed, 877-757-9424. Anything else you want to share right now, Adam, or let's move to the phones?
Oh, let's go to the phones. I'm excited.
Me too. Okay, Tim, first caller.
Raul from Tampa, Florida, you are on the air.
Hello, Raul. You're on the EWTN app. Thank you so much for waiting and welcome.
Hey, good to hear from you guys again. I called several times before. Thank you for the book recommendation. And I do subscribe to that podcast through the Apple.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'll get straight to the point in the comment. The first question, is death an angel or is it the result of sin and death comes when it comes? That's the first part. The second, when my mom, she was suffering from dementia, mm-hmm. and she suffered for 2 years before she passed away. I had Father Adi, yes, because I was worried about her soul. So if you're taking care of your parent or a relative, the priest, Father Adias, came and her did the act of contrition, reconciliation, and then gave her communion. And that was very important for me. Mm-hmm. Especially when he goes, no, but we're trained for this. We're trained for this when people are in this stage in life and they haven't been to Mass or for whatever reasons, right? So that was... So if anybody has taken care of a parent or a loved one, I would recommend having a priest come and visit them if they can't go to the church.
Absolutely. Let me let Adam comment just because it's very interesting everything you're sharing and we appreciate it. I want Adam to definitely just comment, especially circle back to the first question, Adam.
Yeah. So my understanding of this is, when we're separated from the body, we're with Jesus. So that process, traditionally, in the church, is a traditional understanding that Michael, the archangel, is the one that takes us to our judgment when we die. But it's not the angel of death in the sense that an angel comes and, you know, kind of make sure that you die at the moment God wanted you to die. Your guardian angel is always with you. We don't know when our time is up. God does. And from God's perspective, that's already seen and known by God. He's outside of time. And so, you know, when we die is up to God. He created us. The time that we die is up to Him. But it's not like there's an angel of death that goes around and, you know, delivers that. It's an unfolding of the circumstances of life, but those are providentially there through God's permissive or active will. So in that sense, things just unfold as they unfold in God's providence. Now, again, as we said at the opening, death entering our lives is part of the fall of Adam and Eve. So it's sin that brings death in the sense to all of us that decay and decline and disease and then ultimately death is a result of sin. But it's, don't think of it like personal sin, like, oh, if I do these sins, then I'm going to die. We always trust in the mercy of God. We always avail ourselves of medicine. And the church teaches us we should always avail ourselves of medicine. We should use that. And we should always repent and trust in the mercy of God. So I don't know. That's a roundabout way of answering that. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah, that was very well stated. But and Raul, I, just because we have full phone lines, I want to make sure I get to the point where you were talking about, that was excellent, Adam, about your mom passing and about having the sacraments. Cannot stress it enough, Raul. It's important that folks plan. To have your loved one, the anointing, to receive Holy Communion, to receive confession, the apostolic pardon, to have all of the sacraments available and ready for your loved one, to make sure, you know, you can do, obviously, you know, receive the sacraments multiple times in that sense, especially with communion and confession and the anointing, actually. But my point is, don't wait till the very last minute, folks. Don't just assume that you can call in a priest at 3 o'clock in the morning when your loved one is passing. Plan ahead of time. And I'll tell you why, Raul. I'm so glad you brought this up, because this happened with my dad. I knew my dad was going to pass in a matter of months because of his cancer diagnosis, and they couldn't do the clinic couldn't do any more treatments on him. He was basically sent home to die. I immediately, and it's because I worked in parish ministry for so many years. I immediately called the priest at our parish. I had my father, was able to receive the anointing. I mean, and then that continued. And then the day before he died, a priest friend of mine visited our home, and he was able to be with my dad with the sacraments at the very last 24 hours of his life. And so it's very comforting to the soul that is passing, but it's believe it or not, it's even more comforting to the loved ones left behind, because to know that they are now being pretty much, you know, wiped clean. Wiped clean, especially with the sacraments and the apostolic pardon, wiped clean of all their sins. We know they are headed into the arms of Jesus, and it's a very big comfort. I just encourage Catholics, don't wait till the last minute and it's not like you're pushing the death process quicker. When I went into the two eye surgeries, okay, I had an anointing of the sick. Okay. It's important, right, Adam, to make sure we're prepared mm-hmm. in a sacrament way.
Yeah. And you know, one minor point, I used to be the Director of Institutional Ministries in our diocese here before I had other hats to wear. The anointing of the sick is good for 6 months, at least here in our Conference of Bishops in the U.S. You can double check that with your conference, but I think that's universal. So you don't need to get re-anointed every week. People, it's like, oh, we took a turn for the worse, we need it again. Be at peace about that. And, you know, just keep track. It's every 6 months.
Right.
But if the person, you know, wakes up and wants to go to confession, that's great. You know, give them that peace, but they don't need to be re-anointed all the time.
Right, right. And folks, look into the apostolic pardon. You can do the research mm-hmm. on it. We would, in fact, we should probably do a whole show on that. But Raul, I hope that answers all of your questions. Does it sound good?
Yes. Thank you. Oh. God bless.
Oh, God bless you as well. Thank you for calling. Okay, Tim, our next caller, please.
We've got Lou in Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM Radio.
Hello, Lou. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. Thank God that you're doing better. I guess the prayers worked from your audience. Thank God.
Yes, I love, you guys are amazing, the spirit world and Take Two, especially to the Take Two family came in strong. And I think we just accidentally got disconnected from Lou from Queens, New York. So I'll go ahead and continue to, we'll go to the next caller in just a moment. But Lou, if you're listening, please call back. We'll move you back on air with us. It was just an accident here that you got dropped. That was Lou. He's a dear, a wonderful listener and supporter of both shows, Take Two and The Spirit World. So we'll get Lou back. Let's move on to the next caller in the meantime. Tim?
Yeah, sorry about that. Abraham from Kansas, listening on iHeartRadio. You are on the air.
Okay, Abraham, you're up next, and Lou is calling back, so let's get Lou ready to go right after Abraham. Abraham, thank you so much for waiting, and welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. I want to say that I'm not exactly scared of death, but I'm scared of dying alone, especially now at my age. I'm going to be turning 70 here in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and my children had all grown up, and they live in different states. I was the only child. So all my family, basically, except for my son and my daughter, have already passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a truck driver, I guess I get reminded of my mortality from time to time whenever I'm driving down the highway and I see a cross on the highway or several crosses on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm scared of being alone whenever that time comes.
Right.
And mm-hmm. well, anyway, I think
right.
that's my fear.
Abraham, let me, hopefully this will change the way you feel about it forever. And I'm going to share something with you because I learned this when I was doing the Death and Dying Project many years ago in the ministry work I did. And Adam, you tell me what you think about this. Abraham, and because the reason why I'm saying Adam, tell me what you think about this, is Adam's doing a book on the history of angels, so it's perfect. It's probably in line with the research he's doing. Abraham, first of all, you are never alone. Your guardian angels
Amen.
Beside you. Right. You're never alone. Okay. So that's number one. So always remember that. You're always have that incredible, pure spirit, very strong, your soul guard, your bodyguard of your guardian angel beside you. So that's number one. Number two, did you know, and you probably, if you've done any type of research on people who have died, do you know that a lot of people wait until their loved ones have left the room before they die? I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why we need a hospice worker to call in quickly so you can confirm this for me. Yeah, they wait. I know we see the Hollywood movies, and I know we see the stories of people, you know, gathering around the bedside, holding the person's hand, and then the person drifts off to sleep, and then they've died. That does happen. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of times the individual will wait till everybody's gone. That's what happened to my dad. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, there is this separation that happens, right, with the loved ones and then the person that is dying. So in essence, they're alone, right? They're alone because if everybody leaves the room and goes into another room like we did in my family, my dad was alone. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, Abraham, I'm in the same boat with you. I'm an only child, and likely when that time comes, I'll probably be alone, but I might have friends around. I would encourage you to develop your relationship both with your guardian angel, but with a saint or multiple mm-hmm. saints. Benedict is a really good one, Abraham, because one of the promises Benedict gives to his monks, and you don't have to be a full-blown monk, you could just have a devotion to Benedict, is that they have a peaceful and joyful death. And so there's a promise of a comfort at the time of death with Saint Benedict. So I would encourage you to develop a relationship with him, maybe become a third order oblate, which is a lay, you know, person who has a connection with the monastery, a spiritual connection, and a real one. You know, you write to them and ask to be an oblate. But that may help too.
Did that make you feel better, Abraham?
Go on. To some degree, yes. I guess I never considered the fact of the guardian angel all the time. I guess my biggest fear is that I'm going to not be able to get all the graces that are attributed to a Catholic as a Catholic at that moment, whenever death comes.
Okay, so I want to stop you right there because I made a note. I made a note, and we're going to do this because I agree with you. And this is the complaint after COVID, and the concern after COVID the COVID interruption that we have been hearing on the spirit world, and that is we don't have access to the sacraments, or an untimely death, or something happens. And so, Abraham, if you can hold that thought and that feeling for a moment, just maybe for maybe a couple weeks, we're going to get a priest on. Adam, we really need to have a priest on to put everybody's mind at ease about this.
Mm-hmm. That
what
sounds
do you say?
Good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Abraham, mm-hmm. does that work for you?
Yes, it does. It does.
Oh, okay. Hey, Abraham, safe driving, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for all you do for us as a truck driver. Okay, we're going to get Lou back on Sirius XM 130 from Queens, New York. Lou, we apologize. It was a simple accident. We hit the wrong button there, and we're sorry. But in answer to your question, yes, I love the Take-Two family. I love the Spirit World family. You guys are amazing, and prayers do work. So go ahead, Lou. Take it away.
Well, what just happened when we got disconnected is a perfect example of how tenuous life is.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing a button, right? We mm-hmm. got disconnected. Death is like that. Death can come in many forms. We can die a peaceful death, a natural causes death. We could die in a terrible accident. We could die by suicide at our own hands. This is such an incredible topic that you guys are handling today, because it's very complicated and there's so many subcategories. We could go on forever. The bottom line is this. Jesus came into the world and he told us he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we need to always remember each day, because each day is not promised to anyone. We don't know. That's the beauty of death. We don't know when we're going to go. Yeah, we may be ill. I have ALS. I was diagnosed with ALS many years ago. I'm still here to talk about it, thank God. I almost died a few years ago due to blood clots in my lungs. God didn't take me then either. But I was prepared. And preparation is what we have to do as Catholics, and as everybody, all Christians, anybody has to be prepared, because we don't know the time or the hour. And we shouldn't be preoccupied with the time of the hour, but our faith has to be there. And that's the point I just wanted to make. That's all.
That's great, Lou. The key from today is be prepared. Be prepared spiritually, and that way you don't have to worry about it. You can just focus on doing what you're here to do in the time that you have and keep all that squared away. And so the death, that those thoughts don't interfere with the ministry that you're here to do, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, Lou, God love you. You're amazing. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation today. And I put you again in the book, Lou, for that ALS diagnosis many years ago. So stay strong, Lou. And the rest, to hang on. We'll get to your calls when we come back from this final break we're going to take today. We're going to just go to the phones the rest of the episode of The Spirit World, talking about how death can be frightening for some. Let's really share together so we can help other souls today. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 1st. Today we celebrate Saint Ansgar. If handling frustration well makes one a saint, it's no wonder we honor Ansgar today. In his 64 years, he saw many of his efforts fail and much of his good work undone. Born in France in 801, Ansgar became a Benedictine monk. When the King of Denmark became a Catholic, he invited Ansgar to evangelize his people. He met with little success. 3 years later, he set out to do similar work in Sweden, but was captured by pirates on the way. After serving as an abbot at a Benedictine abbey and as bishop of Hamburg, Ansgar was made the Pope's official delegate for the Scandinavian missions. In the end, Ansgar saw most of his efforts in Hamburg undone by invading Vikings who sacked the city. Sweden became pagan again after his death, and remained so until missionaries arrived 2 centuries later. For his untiring efforts in the Scandinavian countries, Ansgar is known as the Apostle of the North. An outstanding preacher who easily captivated audiences, Ansgar was a humble, simple priest at heart. He was devoted to the poor and the sick, imitating Jesus in washing their feet and waiting on them. Ansgar died in 865. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Want some more peace in your life? Need some more grace in your day? Want to wake up each morning excited about life again? Life coaching is there for you. We have a team of dedicated coaches willing to assist you in creating a plan for a better future with God as the focus. Jesus said, "I came for you to have life and to have it to the full." So begin anew at standtalltoday.com. Standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We're talking about how death can be frightening, and we need to talk about it because it's going to happen. It's a reality. It's part of life, the experience of life. And so if we talk about it and we can help others, we can go and live our best life. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to have life and to have it to the full. Adam, real quickly, before we get to the phones, I wanted to just to share Andrea from Toledo, Ohio on Annunciation Radio. Thank you so much, Andrea, for calling in. Andrea wanted to confirm what I said. She worked in ICU and experienced times that a family would leave and then the loved one would pass, the loved one would die. So yeah, that is what I read as well. Andrea, thank you so very, very much for calling in and confirming what I had done the research on, and that is true. So loved ones end up leaving and then the person goes ahead and dies. So there is a reason probably for that, and we'll probably know the full reason when we get to heaven, but it's important that we just go through the journey and understand it as best we can. And Adam, I wanted to share with our listeners, we are going to post some articles on Facebook after the show. So be looking for that throughout the course of the day and the weekend at the Spirit World Podcast. Ready for the next caller, Adam?
Absolutely.
Okay, Tim, who do we have?
Linda in Southern New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Media. You are on the Spirit World.
Hello, Linda. Thank you for waiting and welcome.
Hi. Am I on live now? Should I just talk?
You are on the air. Yes, you're on the air. Whatever you want to talk about, Adam and I are listening to you.
All right. Well, I am a retired nurse of over 40 years, and when I was working up in New England in a hospital, a nurse came out one day and just said, no one should ever have to die alone. And I looked at her and I said, why don't we do something? And so four of us went to the administration, and we started what we called the Thanatology Committee. And for a year, we studied the deaths that had occurred in our hospital, went to medical records, interviewed people, talked, and started this committee. And along the way during that year, there was a young mom. Well, she was probably in her late 30s, but it was a his, her, and my situation with about 20 children that they had. And it was September, and she was very peaceful in her whole process. It was a very religious community. I don't know her faith in particular, but we would pray, and she was comfortable with, as you know, there's two separate parts of this. There's the dying process, and there's death. And she just worked. She was in a lot of pain. 40 years ago, we did not have what we have now to help treat pain. And she mostly focused on getting through the process and working with it. But this was all she thought about was her family. And we just said, well, we have to do something. And so we began to plan something special for Christmas. But as time drew near, we realized she wasn't going to make it to the 25th of December. But we said, well, Christmas doesn't have to be on the 25th. And we planned a huge family celebration. And the day came, I went in, and I gave her a pain shot that morning. And I just, in my evaluation, I said, I don't know if she's going to be here this afternoon when the children come. But an hour before they were due, she woke up. Fully alert, wanted to get up. We got her up, ready. She sat in the chair. Everybody came. She held her one-year-old on her lap for a couple hours, fully functioning, awake, alert. And before that, I don't even remember her being in a chair. She was that debilitated. And she, just a wonderful celebration. Santa came. There was special treats, food, you know, everything. And the children played and very wonderful family celebration. And
that's
around 4 o'clock, the children all left. She went home. They went home. The adults were there, and we put her back in bed. And an hour later, she just died peacefully.
That's so wonderful. That sounds like a wonderful death. Linda, did you see that a lot, where people would kind of rally right before they passed and have a chance to kind of say goodbye to people?
Well, through the years, yes. I do go back to the fact that this was very early in chemo, very early, very few things to treat the discomfort. So a lot of people were in a lot more pain. As years went by, I think that I do believe that the physical treatment, making people more comfortable, does help that a bit more. My mother-in-law was one of those who, you know, an hour before she died, had to get up in the chair and visited with everyone, and then went back to bed and died. I've seen it through the years, yes, many times.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling and sharing, Linda. Appreciate that. And God bless you for the work that you did as a nurse.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Thank you. You did great. And this platform is just wonderful to get our stories out there, our experiences. Oh, wow. Ready for the next caller?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay, Tim, who's up next?
Margie from Mandan, North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Thank you, Margie.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I could relate to the nurse that was just on. My husband had a nerve disease, and it consequently left him in the process of being paralyzed. He the last month of his life, he was practically totally paralyzed. Yeah. Anyway, the day before he died, he couldn't talk. I mean, he could not communicate. The day before he died, he called me by name, Margie. And so I went in immediately to his room. He died at home. That was his wish, with the good Lord surrounding him. And I said, Larry, what do you want? But, you know, he looked at me and he said, I want to tell you three things.
Aww.
And I said, okay. He said, the first is God is good. And he said that three times. The second, he said, be humble. And he said that three times. The last thing he said to me, and I have loved you always.
Aww.
And he said that three times. We were so blessed to be able to share that moment where he was alert. He knew what was going on. We always played the Gorgianian chant and Divine Mercy 24/7 in the room at a very low tone. The day of his death, our priest came over. He got all of the rites. He got blessed. He had the anointing of the sick again. And I cannot stress that enough, as it was stressed earlier. Larry was receiving an anointing at least once a month. And I am so grateful for that. He died. His hospice nurse came in, checked him all over, looked at me, said, come on. And on the way out, she said to me, she said, Marge, I would call your children. She said, I think late tomorrow sometime. I said, okay, fine. I will do that. As we were walking out of his room toward the door so I could show her out, I stopped. I said, Wendy. She said, what? I said, Larry just died. He just died. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, I literally felt his spirit through my body, leaving. I felt that. Back into the bedroom we went, and she looked at me and she said, Marge, you're right. He's gone. And death can be beautiful. And
Well, Margie, let me just hold it right there and wow. First of all, we're sorry for your loss, but Larry sounds like an extraordinary man. I have to just make a comment about this because everybody knows I love threes, and he did it in threes, which is very interesting. I find that to be, in my opinion, a message from God, Adam. And so be humble. God is good. And you mentioned it, Adam. It's about love, how much he loved Margie. Margie, wow. I put you and your whole family in the prayer book. This was a very powerful call. What do you say?
Yeah, thanks so much for calling, Marge. And, you know, that's interesting. It brings up the sacramental nature of marriage, that two people become one, in a sense, spiritually, in a very real sense. And so it's beautiful that God gave you that gift of feeling his passing. And, I can tell there was peace for you in that. So thank you for sharing a really good example of what faith and prayer and loved ones can do for the dying process.
Well, and the other thing too, you're married 55 years, okay? The two shall become one. Of course you're going to feel the fact that he has departed. Margie, I think there's so many elements here that you have shared that is really going to help the rest of us. So thank you. Thank you. God bless you for your precious heart. And we are with you in prayer for your whole entire family and, of course, for the soul of Larry. We should pray for all departed souls. Let's see if we can squeeze in another caller. Where are we going next, Tim?
We go to Elmira, New York, where Rose is listening on Station of the Cross. Rose, welcome to the spirit world.
Hi, guys. I was just going to tell you, I was a hospice nurse, and I also did other nursing with other people, and I've seen so many people that their family members come, their mother, their father, their, you know, that have been dead for like 50 years. And it's actually really beautiful. And sometimes it's a little spooky because they'll say, oh, they're coming back for me tomorrow, you know, in such and such hour. And they do. Like, the person will be totally fine and talking and say, I'm going to die now. And then, of course, I've seen the opposite, where people are just holding on, you know, waiting for a certain person to visit or something, or maybe the fear, you know, of death.
So Rose, when they feel they know when they're going to go, does that end up being correct?
Yes, I've had that happen. Yes, where I've said, are you having any pain or any? No. And then they go. And it is interesting. Sometimes they'll come with, like, flowers. Because I've had people hand me, like, a bouquet of flowers that the person came with, or a present, and try to hand me to put the flowers in the vase for them that aren't really there, that I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
But so, it is very beautiful.
So, Rose, we only have a couple minutes left, but just for the people out there listening that I know are going down this road in their mind, do you think that that is always just hallucination from, I don't know, lack of oxygen to the brain or the medication, or in your medical mm-hmm. experience, what would that be an explanation you would use?
No, not at all. Because some of the people that I took care of, they weren't on the morphine or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't on any they weren't given any medication. They were totally clear at that point.
Wow.
Because sometimes in hospice, you're brought in like 6 months ahead of time, mm-hmm. not just at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people you see just in the last 24 hours, but some people you see on a regular basis for like 6 months before. So they're not heavily medicated. They're not anything.
And Rose,
and it so makes it wonderful.
About how common are people seeing their departed loved ones, do you think? If you were to just guess, I know you don't know exactly.
At least half the time. Because sometimes even the ones that are medicated, sometimes they're not expressing they're seeing someone, but you'll see them reach out a hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if they're, or point, they point to the ceiling, like they're seeing something.
Neat.
Something that we can't see.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling,
yes.
Rose. That's exactly what I was hoping to hear from somebody who had seen a lot of these experiences.
Yep. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I just want to say, Rose, if you listen to the Spirit World often or Take Two, you know how I've said this for many years. I think nurses and teachers are going to get a high place in heaven. I just believe it. So thank you for the fine work that you do. And God bless you for calling in today. Thank you. Okay, this is the part of the show that we don't like this part of the show. And that is that we have to tell Brennan in Michigan and Christine in Indiana, Mike driving through Kansas. Be safe, Mike, driving. You have your guardian angel beside you. Sally in Southern Florida and the others, we're not going to get to you for this episode because the clock is going to run out and you're going to hear the music in just about a minute. But the good news is Carol and Libby, they'll pick up the phone and they will talk to you and maybe we'll get your questions or comments in for a future show on death. Or Adam, let's talk about it after the show. Maybe we should do a part two because it sounds like maybe we can cover this from a different angle. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And maybe we have a priest friend who had a near-death experience. Maybe we could focus on the near-death experiences also.
Remember our dear friend, Father Cedric Pazania, mm-hmm. he's had two near-death experiences.
Yes. So that might be interesting.
Yeah. So we'll cover this again, you guys. And sorry again to Brennan, Christine, Mike, and Sally. You guys waited so long to get onto the show and we apologize. And I know we get this every single show. Can you do a second hour? No, because there's a great show planned right after us, right? And right before us. And that's how it works on radio. But the good news is we have social media, so we'll post some comments on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast, and we'll continue the conversation. You can always email us, tsw@grnonline.com. And remember, please pray for all of us, because this work that we're doing, it's met with a lot of resistance from the enemy, and so we do need those protective prayers. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, thank you so much for your prayers. I can tell you it makes a difference. I hear about it from the enemy on Fridays, so don't be freaked out by that. But yeah, this show matters, and we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Adam Bly, and I want to thank all the fine folks on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok. You guys are amazing. Thank you, Tim Mott, our producer. Thank you to Libby and Carol, our call screeners, the whole show team in EWTN. That's it for Adam Bly. I'm Debbie Georgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.